Shadow of a Bat, written by Paper Puffin and read by Flower Parish. This is a Danny Phantom and DC crossover fic, rated mature, with warnings for graphic depictions of violence. This features the relationships between Danny Fenton and the Bat Family members, including Bruce Wayne. Summary. Captured by the GIW, Phantom was a mere shadow of the thing, no, person. He had to remember he was a person that he used to be. He thought he would never be freed from the bright white lab. Then, what seemed to be a mass of living shadow swept into the lab, and Phantom suddenly, for the first time in a very long time, felt safe. When Batman swept back out of the seemingly empty lab, he was none the wiser about the eldritch Phantom stowed away in his shadow. At least, not until things started to seem just slightly off.
Hello, hello, anybody out there? 'Cause I don't hear a sound. Alone, alone, I don't really.
Chapter 1. For Batman, it started during the Justice League's raid of the GIW facility. If asked, that is not when Batman would have said it started, or rather, that was not when he noticed. For him, it started with a patrol when he caught Nightwing off guard. As Batman, Bruce was not only used to startling people, it was a tool that he used ruthlessly. He never underestimated the advantage that the ability to move, unerringly, in and out of the shadows gave him. Startling his children, however, was a rare occurrence. Being the oldest, Dick was practically immune to the tricks of the trade. Even at his most relaxed and with his guard down, he was rarely surprised by anything. It's what made him so skilled at handling his stealthier siblings, like Damian and Cassandra. So, when Dick was startled on the job as Nightwing, Bruce immediately knew that something was off kilter. Bruce's initial assumption was that Dick was under the weather. Or it could have been a case from his day job on his mind, if it was something truly pressing, but even that felt out of character. The idea of anything being off was quickly disproved, as Nightwing performed exceptionally, as always, while they worked together to take down the drug ring, operating across the Gotham and Bloodhaven border. But the interaction continued to tug at the back of Bruce's mind, so he started to pay attention to every detail around him. He paid attention to the way the shadows seemed to cling a little closer to him, to the way the element of surprise was always on his side, to the way that criminals seemed to cower more than normal. It was all purely circumstantial, of course. There was the chance that there was nothing of merit in those details. But circumstances had a way of turning deadly in an instant, and so Bruce continued to take note of the darkness surrounding him. A henchman would stumble on nothing, and a shot would go wide. A punch would land harder than expected and knock the assailant instantly out of the fight. A pursuer would run right past a witness or victim that Batman was protecting. And then, all the odder, it seemed that whatever he needed around the cave was always at hand, and his tea never got cold. It all led to one single conclusion. Something, or someone, was watching over him. For the Batbrood, it started with things being just a step off normal. It was nothing, not really, but they were trained to be sensitive to the subtle shifts of the world around them. Suddenly, around Bruce, it felt like everything had moved 2 feet to the left, like expecting one more step at the top of the stairs when there were none. It started, for each of them, with little oddities. Dick startled when Bruce got the drop on him when patrol. From that night on, Batman seemed to blend deeper into the shadows. Jason noticed when he got the feeling around Batman that the other was hurt. He dropped some subtle questions to his siblings, even reached out to Oracle, but none of them brought up Bruce being injured. But the feeling didn't go away. Something still called to Jason, asking for help. The sensation did grow less intense, but it still bothered Jason. Tim dismissed it, at first, as needing more sleep. When he'd shown up for a board meeting at Wayne Enterprises after a late night on a case, Bruce's shadow had, for a moment, seemed off. It had seemed smaller than it should have been. Tim could have easily ignored that one-off, but he kept noticing things about the shadow. A moment where the ear tips were missing from the cowl, where the cape flared in the shadow but not reality, where there were too many arms. Steph might not have caught on to it, she wasn't around as much, but there was Cass. Cass, who had started humming, softly, soothingly, when it was quiet in the cave during research. Steph swore the shadows sometimes rippled back in response to the song. She didn't ask Cass, and Cass didn't offer any explanation either. Steph didn't think asking would get more than an enigmatic smile anyways. Damien felt the hair on the nape of his neck stand on end whenever he was close to Bruce. There was an energy around his father now that hadn't been there before. It was almost the same energy that came from standing near the Lazarus pits, simply less. Simply softer, kinder. Duke swore that sometimes Bruce's shadow, mostly Batman's shadow, seemed to glow green. On the double take, it never was, but the image stayed with Duke. And Alfred? Alfred was on edge because his family was on edge. He hid it, of course, behind his unflappable demeanor, but there was a tense line to his shoulders nonetheless. Something had changed about Bruce. Something that made them all alert. Tim was the one to finally broach the subject in the family group chat. He needed to know if he was going crazy or not. For the Justice League, it started when Batman sent the Founding Seven, plus Constantine, an encoded message. In it, he stated that there was an entity of unknown origins that had attached itself to him. So far, the entity was not only non-hostile, but seemed to be actively aiding in missions. Batman was clear to remind them all that current behavior was no guarantee of continued cooperation or overall morality of the entity. Anyone other than Batman might have been doubted. The proof he offered was practically non-existent, a fact that he was upfront about. He disclosed that the only hard data that the instruments in the Batcave recorded were a shifting cold spot and a resonant vibration that occasionally echoed the song that Black Bat hummed. Batman was confident that the entity was around, though, as were the rest of his people. Batman proposed to bring him and the entity to the Watchtower. There, they could apply all of the headquarters' sensors to analyzing the entity, as well as the skills of members such as Jean, Hal, and Constantine. Perhaps the most concerning part of the message was Batman's hypothesis. He proposed that, based on the timing of the manifestation and the entity's nature, the being had attached itself to him in the lab. None of the League had to ask what lab. For those who had been on the mission, it was not some place they would be likely to forget. Nor would those who had been spared the mission but had still heard about the horrors that the GIW facility had held. After the bill protecting metahumans had passed, and taken the unethical Anti-Ecto Acts off the books with it, the organization had gone to ground. Operating on the other side of legality didn't seem to have slowed down the GIW's work any. In fact, it seemed to make the remaining agents all the more fervent, all the more dedicated to prove that they had been right about ghosts, all the more willing to cross unspeakable lines. Throughout the facility, there were obvious signs of imprisonment, torture, and dissection. Carefully labeled and stored remains and body parts corroborated that. Later, from the recordings, the League would learn that vivisection was often the accurate term. The only living, as much as the term applied, entities found in the lab were three green blob-like creatures and one humanoid ghost with bright green hair. The containment case in the lab had seen that the humanoid ghost didn't survive long enough to be extracted. A failsafe of the facility seemed to be the total destruction of all subjects and a number of the staff. Despite the implication, the entity with Batman gave the League hope that maybe they had at least gotten there in time to save one soul. It was hope that, even with the risks, gave them cause to plan the visit to the Watchtower. For Phantom, it started when he felt a presence in the bowels of the GIW facility. He barely felt anything anymore. There was barely anything left of him to feel things, not after the scientists had pulled him apart again and again and again. But he felt this. The red klaxon of the alarms were flashing when what seemed like a mass of living shadow had swept into the powered-down lab that Phantom was kept in. As soon as the being entered, a wave of safety had washed over him. He called it safety, but he didn't know if that was the right word. Most people, probably, wouldn't feel safe around that particular combination of emotions. An all-encompassing rage was the loudest emotion, but under that rage was an aching sorrow and a driving chant of protect, protect, protect. To Phantom, that combination sang of safety. This being, person, was enraged by the lab. The rage may have threatened to consume them, but they were everything that the cold, calculating scientists weren't. Under an iron control, this being felt things. Phantom wanted to feel things too. Desperately, he wanted to remember what that was like, to feel something other than an endless, numb terror. He tried to call out to the person, but it had been so long since he had made noises. Why would he? The scientists didn't listen to anything he said. They just kept cutting in, an endless sea of white with orange and turquoise and so much green, green, green. It didn't matter if he screamed. It didn't matter if he begged. So he stopped talking. He stopped trilling. But now he wanted to talk, to call out. He was here. Please don't leave him. Don't go away without him. Don't make him stay here in the lab. He wanted to be safe. The person paused in their search of the lab and looked towards the container that Phantom was kept in. Please, don't leave me. They looked at the container for a long moment, then at their gloved hand, before they flicked the latch. It opened with a hiss, and Phantom froze, pressed back against the dark corner like nothing more than a shadow himself. Why did he freeze? He wanted the other to know he was there, didn't he? No. When they remembered him, it hurt. It was safest not to. The person turned away from him, and Phantom, panicked at being left, darted forward. The shadows surrounding the person made space for him, welcomed him. It was like being hugged. Phantom thought that maybe he remembered hugs. He curled up into the sensation. There, in the shadows, he was safe. And he stayed safe. He could hardly believe it, but he really was safe. He was sure it had been some time by then. True, Phantom struggled to take notice of the passage of time. He was so used to nothing changing. The labs were always the same. Scientists and guards and agents visited in an ever-repeating rhythm. In the sealed door, out the sealed door. In and out, and in and out, and into the bright room, and out with another piece of him carved off to study. Everything was always bright and painful and white, white, white. But with this person, here, where was he? Here, it was different. The light grew dim until it was all but gone, and then it came back again, growing brighter. But no pain came with it. No scientists, guards, or agents came with it. Different people did come and go. Phantom could sense them, a little, but it was never those people. These people who came and went now felt like the being, person, it was a person, whose shadow he clung to. The same chant of protection sung around them, even if it echoed in different ways. They might have been safe too, but Phantom stayed with the person who had swept into the labs and saved him. They were the safest. The shadows that clung to the person ebbed with the rise and fall of the light. When there was less light, the shadows were a thick, heavy shroud like in the labs. Other times, when it was brighter, the shadows were almost tucked away. When it was brighter, they were less. During the daytime, they were less. Daytime was a thing Phantom thought he remembered now. It meant, he was outside. That was the sun, Sol, a yellow dwarf star, the center of their solar system. 4.5 billion years old. And warm. Phantom felt like he might melt in its warmth. He would welcome melting in the light of the sun for how good it felt. He hadn't been warm in so very, very long. It was easier to keep track of time after that, after he had remembered the sun. After he had remembered a little piece of how the world turned outside of the cold, bright, sterile labs. All sorts of things came back to Phantom in bits and pieces like that. Sometimes he would remember something and there would be a flood of knowledge. Other times he would remember one bit, a word or a fact or a thing, only for there to be nothing else to tie it to. Then, a day or a week later, he'd remember something else and suddenly the bits would snap into place. Along with all the bits and pieces he was remembering about the world, Phantom was also learning about the person who was safe. The man whose shadow he lurked in was a hero. This was how he had found Phantom. He was a hero mostly at night, and his name was Batman. It was also Bruce Wayne. Phantom wondered if that meant he had another name also. Batman worked with other heroes. Bruce worked with some of the same people. No, not worked with. They were family. What was family? Batman and Bruce were both safe, safe, safe. And Phantom wanted to help keep Batman and Bruce safe, too. The problem was, since Batman was a hero, he constantly put himself in danger. Often, this was to protect other people. To Phantom, that only made it all the more important to keep Batman safe. If Batman was safe, he could help keep other people safe, people that Phantom couldn't help. He needed to help keep people safe. So, Phantom did what little he could. When Batman was outnumbered, a far too common occurrence, Phantom would add a little bit of power to make the punches land harder. When people threatened Batman, he would let himself stretch, reaching tendrils from shadow to shadow to trip gunmen. And when Batman was protecting someone, Phantom would protect them too. There was something inside him that sung when he was able to help protect. He wanted to keep that feeling so badly. But protecting was also terrifying. Often it meant pulling himself away from Batman to stay with whoever was in danger. Often it pulled Phantom away from where he was safe. He managed, though. He moved past the fear. And then, one time, the person Phantom was helping to shroud in the shadows ran. Phantom was so startled by the act that it took him a moment to realize that the person was running away from Batman, away from safety. Phantom scrambled back, sliding off the person's shadow and clinging to a brick wall. Where was Batman? Where was safe? He needed height. He'd be able to see better higher up. Something in him knew that, craved that. Phantom scuttled up the wall, tendrils of darkness pulling him higher and higher. He shot past the top of the roof, floating for a moment in the brilliantly dark sky before he came crashing down. Where did he... Phantom darted across the roof, bounding from shadow to leap across the ledge. He hit the wall of the other building too low and clung desperately to it. Brick by brick, he pulled himself up to the top. Where was Batman? Where was safety? Phantom wailed a cry and the windows rattled around him. He hadn't made a noise until then, not since getting out. He hadn't needed to. But now, in his need, his darkness split into many, many mouths full of many, many teeth, so that he could cry out with a sob. Where did you go? There. A flash of movement caught his attention as Batman grappled onto the roof. When he landed, he flared his cape out wide. Phantom dove for the shadows that it offered. He clung under the drape of slick fabric, trembling in the shadows. He felt Batman shift to perch on the edge of the building. The cape stayed tented out around him, making a safe shield between Phantom and the rest of the world. Batman tucked it slightly further around Phantom. Then, in the quiet of the night, Batman started to hum. It was the same song that the other always hummed, the quiet one who felt softly of silent death. From that one, it was an invitation to play. From Batman, it was a low, comforting promise. Slowly, Phantom calmed. The many mouths melded back into the shadows. The hundreds of pointed teeth that had teared at his own being shifted away into nothing. Tendrils relaxed and tucked close. Eventually, Phantom stopped trembling. They returned to the cave soon after Phantom had calmed. Phantom couldn't tell, not exactly, but it seemed earlier than normal to return home. He was happy for it. End of chapter one.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it